You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
To a brand spanking new edition of Five and Out. I'm Wes.
I'm Steve.
This week we have a very just emotionally exhausting top five for you. Steve, what is that top five?
We're counting down the top five worst things of 2017.
And we realized there was just a lot of crap. We get into our top five right now.
So Wesley, I just returned from Sin City.
Sin City?
That's right. Detroit, Michigan.
I was going to say the Bruce Willis movie.
Good movie, though.
Yeah, it was.
Good movie. No, got back from the Las Vejas.
Ah, nice. What'd you do there?
I was there for work for a couple of days.
Land.
At the World of Concrete.
Oh, boy.
I know. And
what sounds exciting.
When we got to the airport, when we went to, check in at the terminal, lady's like, oh, what brings you to Las Vegas? I was like, oh, no, I'm sorry. It was when we were at the hotel. So what brings you to Las Vegas? I'm like, we're here for the trade show, World of Concrete. She's like, oh, exciting. And I'm like, no, it isn't.
Don't you say that to me.
It's like, don't you dare. And she looked up. She's like, I know.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I have to say that. It's like, it's not exciting. I know it's not exciting. Don't pretend it's exciting.
It's the world's premier concrete exhibit.
That's right. So I was there for 3 days for work, and then my wife came out for Friday, Saturday, and then we flew back on Sunday, so...
You left the baby at home by yourself?
No, I put her on a craps table. roulette. I put her on black.
Oh, nice.
Now we have six babies. Oh, so we did very well.
Steve, I think you went to some underground casinos.
I mean, there's some parts of Vegas not everyone's familiar with.
But, oh, man. But those new babies.
It can be lucrative, let me tell you. So if anyone's looking for a baby, got them at a good price.
Got it.
And of course, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, Wes.
Except for those other five babies.
Of course. And those had to come with me. Yeah. I checked them on the airplane. But for those who have been to Las Vegas, let me tell you what. 5 days in Las Vegas is too many days in Las Vegas.
Why do you say that?
Because... So like I said, it was almost like a two-part trip. It was 3 days for business, which, you know, was a lot of, going out with customers and other stuff. So it was very active in, several drinks and this and whatever. And then it was, 2 days with my wife. So it was almost like two trips in one. But by the time I got there Tuesday morning and then, you know, very late on Saturday morning, you know, 2 in the morning on Saturday, Holly had only been there for, you know, one night, a night and a half. And I was just like, I am done. I am done here. I am done giving strangers my money. I'm done taking $15 cab rides everywhere I need to go. I am done. I'm done smelling like perfumed cigarette air. I'm done. I'm just done tipping everyone for like opening a door, for like telling me where the bathroom is. Like I am done here. I am done. My first two nights, I was like, I love this place. Man, what a bizarre creation this is.
Yeah, yeah.
In no world should this place exist, but I'm so glad that it does. Last day, I was like, I want to see my baby and my dog, and I want to go home.
Oh, man. Too much of a good thing, dude.
God, it is. It's just, Vegas is so much.
It's a lot.
Of everything.
It's sensory overload.
Oh, my God, man. So the highlights, I got to shoot some guns.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, a thing that we had talked about for my wedding. We talked about doing it. It was a little bit too pricey at the time, mm-hmm. but I was able to do it this time. So there's this big, they've got a couple of these places, but they've got these packages of guns that you can shoot. So they have a Call of Duty package, you know, guns featured in the game. They've got, essentially it's like a Saving Private Ryan package with that. I think it's an M1, I think, the regular rifle that when you run out of bullets, it does the ding, the clip thing shoots out the top. So they've got a bunch of different packages, and I shot the SWAT package.
Oh, nice, from the movie SWAT.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Colin Farrell came out.
Oh, wow, he was there?
Yeah. I was like, wow, your career has really fallen apart, hasn't it? I shot a little like 9mm handgun. Keep in mind, I am not a gun dude. I've shot a gun like once in my life before this. I blew up a snowman with a shotgun once.
Oh my God, Steve, you are a badass.
It's Stallone, Schwarzenegger, Steve.
Yep.
Next. I shot a little 9mm gun. I shot an MP5.
Isn't that an explosive?
It's not an explosive.
Did you shoot an explosive, Steve?
I just shot a series of grenades.
Wow.
MP5 is like the, I know it's the SWAT package, but it's kind of like the small machine gun that like SWAT guys have, and it had a silencer on it.
Okay.
It was really cool. When he shot, it just goes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was really cool. Then I shot a sniper rifle.
Oh, my God.
Who'd you snipe?
Colin Farrell?
I'm not at liberty to say right now.
But Colin Farrell.
But Colin Farrell's super dead in a totally unrelated event. And then I shot a pump-action shotgun.
That's, hey, man, I'm not a gun dude either, but that I would love just to spend an hour or two shooting guns.
And let me tell you, I'm pretty good.
Yeah?
They didn't move the target out especially far.
Was it directly in front of you?
It was, when I don't say, I mean, 6 to 8 inches away.
So, not touching the muzzle of the gun.
Right.
Just so.
And I almost hit the target every time.
Wow, dude.
No, I was, I don't know, it was like 30 feet or something, 50 feet. I don't know. Not great. Great judge of distance.
Yeah, obviously. There's a lot of difference between 30 and 50.
It's almost twice, actually, to be honest.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, a few feet.
50 feet sounds about right. But pretty much all in the center kill zone.
The center mass.
And then on the shotgun, he's like, okay, you can go for headshots. And I blew this target's head right apart.
Man, that target deserved it, too.
It was pretty good. So, two quick things about this place. There's all these different guns you can shoot. Something they added in the last year is a minigun.
Wait, like the huge guns you see on helicopters?
Exactly that
Jesus.
One.
Jesus.
It is... It's ridiculously priced to shoot it. But as we walked in, I think we were in like the shooting area for maybe like a minute. And you have to wear eye protection. You have to wear ear protection. And you hear like the guy that works there. He's like, minigun, 3, 2, 1. And you're like, what? And then you can literally feel like the atmosphere of the room change. And it goes.
Oh my God.
It is unbelievably loud, and I think he shot like 1,000 rounds in like 10, 15 seconds.
Jesus Christ.
You're like, what in the name of the Lord is that?
Oh my God.
It was unbelievable, dude.
Uh-huh.
Oh my God.
But you didn't do it.
I did not. Mm-hmm. I just needed to see the thing be shot because it was like $500 to shoot that.
Oh, Jesus. For 10 to 15 seconds?
Yeah.
Oof, man. Okay. Yeah. Nope. Not going
to
do it.
But it was super cool to see it.
Sure.
So, yeah. So, anyway. So,
what's
five
number
days.
Two?
Number two? What?
You said two.
Oh,
games.
Yeah. Real quick part of this, too. There's there's different shooting, like, stalls, if you will, you know, in this range.
Kind of like bathroom stalls.
Bathroom stalls, you know, you kind of drop your pants, you pull out your gun, and...
That's how guns work, right?
Right, guys? Right? So, there's, like, this big African-American guy in, like, the first stall when we were right there, shooting booth thing, whatever it is. He's, like, I don't know, he's, like, 6'2", like, 230 pounds, like, you know, like, a built dude. Mm-hmm. And he's shooting big guns, like, AK-47s, like, big, like, Russian rifles, whatever this, like, package is.
Did they have an accent? How did you know they were Russian?
Every time he shot the gun, it's like...
Das Svidaniya.
It's like, oh, that's a weird sound for a gun. Every time I was like, Putin, Putin, Putin. And then it just went, Trump, one time. I was like, wait a minute, what?
Hold on 1 second.
Wait a second. And then Bob Mueller showed up. I was like, there you are. Anyway, so this dude's shooting these big rifles. And it's this, like, big-ass machine gun. And his wife / girlfriend is this, I don't know, 5'4" little... You know, African American woman, and she's wearing her, like, super clean Adidas. She's like she's dressed to go out and have fun.
She's 77 years old.
she's filming her dude, you know, shooting these guns, and he's like, come on, baby, come on, you shoot this one. And she's like, no, I don't know. I said, no, girl, come on, get over here. So She's so these things are like there's like a little table kind of thing in front of you, kind of lean on to shoot. Mm-hmm. But she's so short that like she can't like be directly behind the gun to like look down like the sights. Mm-hmm. So she's behind this giant machine gun, and it's got like the legs that come out of the front.
Oh my god!
So the guy, so the like the instructor guy kind of like puts his hand on her back to like make sure she doesn't like get blown away. Mm-hmm. And he's like okay, and you can fire. And she's like blah 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 blah. And instantly starts shooting up.
Oh,
like,
no.
It starts, like, going, like, center up, 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 ceiling, ceiling, wall, wall, wall.
Oh, my God.
And she shoots one of the cables that holds the target. So the target is, like, swinging. There are sparks going off.
Oh, my God.
And our guy, our, like, instructor guy, he's like, holster that weapon! And, like, all the other, like, apparently, since I'm not a big shooter gun guy, apparently it is super dangerous to start shooting the walls and the ceiling because they can ricochet anywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
So this little, like, 5'4" woman's like, she's like, I don't know, that gun seems awfully big. No, 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 you're fine. Blah, blah, blah.
Oh, jeez.
And I was like, Jesus Christ.
This leads to my next question. What is the protection like for this gun range?
Hey, I told you. Safety glasses and ear protection, okay?
No,
totally safe.
I'm talking about what's stopping a maniac from going in there and taking the SWAT package and just cleaning house?
Your, like, instructor guy would be the thing that would be stopping him, I suppose.
Is he holding a gun to your head?
He is not, but he's right up on you. He's in your hip pocket.
Oh,
so
he's a tiny
he's
instructor.
He's a little man. Have you seen Honey, I Shrunk the Kids?
I did.
It's basically what they do.
Oh, wow. That's great.
You think there's a better application for that technology? Turns out there is not.
There's not.
This is it. Yeah, he hands you the gun, and like he's like right on you, and then he kind of backs away like a foot.
Oh, sure.
He's like right there. So, and everyone that is at the range to shoot, I mean, technically we had... You know, I was shooting, and my two coworkers were with me. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, technically, I guess they could have bum rushed him and grabbed him, and I could unload this weapon. I suppose,
that has to be exhausting being an instructor because you have to be on your toes all
sure.
the time.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess they just assume that they have enough guns and like trainers and stuff that know how to use them. Like, if someone were to turn the gun elsewhere, they would promptly take them down by whatever force necessary,
But if you're spending 6 to 8 hours in fight or flight mode, watching everybody's every move.
Yeah. Yeah. I have no idea what the, and this, not where I especially meant for this conversation to go.
That's something I've always wondered.
Yeah. It never seemed to be a concern there. The bigger concern was people being excited about shooting and then like, turning out to like talk to their friends with like and turning the weapon.
Oh, sure.
And those dudes are like they're on that immediately. Like as soon as you start to like they'll grab your hands and like put the gun down and like mm-hmm. like they're on it. So
I remember my stepdad years and years ago took my youngest sister to the shooting range and accidentally shot her in the foot.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Was he trying to like point it down to like
Oh, he was trying to shoot her. She was running away. I don't even know. I don't know how that happens. Because I hear of people shooting themselves in the foot. But shooting, I don't know. She was like 19 at the time, so it wasn't like a toddler between the legs or anything.
Sure.
I don't know how that happened.
You know, man, obviously this goes without saying. Like, guns are no joke, man. It is. It's, you can definitely feel the power when... And I think that's why people get so hooked on guns, man. Because, like I said, I've only shot a gun once. But, like, when you hold a shotgun or whatever and, like, and you feel that, like, blam! And, like, that sound and, like, it is an instant adrenaline rush, man.
Hey, man, I know. I shot a BB gun when I was 9. That the kickback on that thing.
I know, man. You're lucky you didn't break your shoulder.
I dislocated it.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Strong. You're so strong.
Thank you.
No, there's... It's very... It's very empowering to shoot a gun. It feels good.
Steve, you're growing chest hair as we speak.
I just need it, Wes. You got a gun, Wes? I gotta shoot it.
When did you start chewing raw beef?
It's exciting. It's fun. It's exciting. And, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, it's so, because it's dangerous, you know, like that's, that's, I mean, a big part of the reason, but.
And that has been 5 & Out's Gun Corner of the Week.
Yeah. I don't own a gun. I have no plans on owning a gun anytime.
Mm-hmm.
I'm willing to have a discussion with anyone about gun rights and what it means and blah, blah, blah.
Don't say that. you're just inviting
That's
people
true.
Now.
I'm not willing to have that conversation. But I am willing to say that, like, hunters and stuff, they can have their guns, blah, 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 whatever. What I'm trying to say is, once you shoot a gun, you may have a different perspective on it as well.
Sure.
Like, it is fun. It is an adrenaline rush.
Oh, sure. That's why people will skydive.
Sure.
Yeah, while shooting guns.
Woo-hoo-hoo! At the ground.
Well, you had a much more fulfilling week. That's not the right word I want to use, but exciting couple weeks than I had. The most exciting thing I've done, besides like shows and whatever, I watched The Punisher, Netflix's TV show The Punisher.
How'd you like it?
I am in the minority because I really loved it.
I started to watch the first episode. I saw like 15 minutes. I'm like, I will watch this. But then my baby was a baby and had to go do baby things. So.
Oh, you couldn't watch just explicit gore and violence with the baby in the room?
Real quick, after you talk about Punisher, I want to talk about watching something like that with my daughter real quick.
Okay, fair enough. No, there's a lot of criticisms out there on the internet about it. But I've never read the comic books. I only know the Punisher from the Dolph Lundgren movie,
right.
The Tom Jane movie. I didn't see Punisher Warzone with Ray, what's-his-face? Ray Romano as the Punisher, inspired casting. Then, of course, the Punisher in Daredevil Season 2. So I really enjoyed the series, and I heard a lot of criticisms were about the Punisher didn't shoot enough dudes. And my response to that is, it can't be 13 hours of the Punisher just shooting dudes. The Punisher is a character. He needs a character arc. And I think for what this Netflix series set out to do, I think it was a really good show and a really good character arc. I loved him. I loved his quote-unquote sidekick, Micro. I thought he did great. And
Micro from Dirty Jobs?
Yeah, Mike Rowe.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I love Mike Rowe.
There were a couple ham-handed things about gun control in there, which our previous conversation made me think about The Punisher. I really loved it. For me, and I know people are going to call me crazy. For me.
Yeah, crazy.
Thank you. It's Jessica Jones, number one. Daredevil Season 1, number two. The Punisher, number three.
Over what? So Luke Cage is left, the other...
Iron Fist. Daredevil Season 2, and The Defenders.
Okay. All right.
So yeah, I loved it, man.
So real quick. So speaking of watching, we've talked about this before, that I was like, I don't know. You watch Braveheart with the daughter, I don't know, 7, 8 years old, you know, something like that, somewhere there. Mm-hmm. And you and Holly are like, no. Do you remember the rapes and decapitations? Gratuitous murder? Smashing people's faces in. I'm like, I'm fine, 11 years old. Fine. Fine. So I just randomly happened to have it on TV the other day. It was Kickboxer, Jean-Claude Van Damme, one of his early, early roles.
I don't think I've ever seen this movie.
So for those who don't know, let me catch you up to the very end of the movie. Spoiler alert for a 30-year-old Jean-Claude Van Damme action movie.
By the way, the spoiler time codes will not be in the description.
So long story short is... this, like, the best kickboxer in Thailand or whatever has kidnapped Jean-Claude Van Damme's best friend. So they're going to do this final fight, and JCVD can't fight back, otherwise they'll kill his best friend. Mm-hmm. So this kickboxer is beating the hell out of JCVD for, like, 4 rounds. And then, of course, his friend escapes and shows up, and now JCVD can turn on the goods and beat the shit out of the kickboxer guy. Mm-hmm. That's where we are. So my daughter is running around and, like, We just kind of stop for a second. It's this point right where JCVD can begin the ass kicking, and I was like, hey, like Cobra Jones, come here, let's watch Uncle JCVD do some work. And she sits in my lap, and it is just absolutely classic JCVD. Like, he like the kick, like he kicks him in the face on the right side, keeps his foot up, uses the same foot and kicks him on the other side of the
nice.
Like he does that, the dual hand punch to the chest.
Uh-huh.
You know, and like every time he punches, he's like, gah! And he like shakes his head in slow motion, like just classic JCVD stuff that I just eat up. And my daughter goes, ooh. And she watched the whole final part of JCVD kicking his ass. And I was like, yes. Like, yes. Like, later this weekend, Bloodsport. And we'll just go from there, my daughter.
And then next week, let's go shoot some guns.
Oh, and no bullshit. She applauded when it was over. She
what?
Clapped when it was over.
Yes.
I'm doing dad right.
Does she watch cartoons?
Is
she old enough that she understands what's going on?
She likes to do applause when she hears applause happening.
Oh, you didn't say that.
Hey, the fact of the matter is she clapped at the end of the movie, okay?
Okay.
Like she likes like I'll throw like Wheel of Fortune on and you're like, you know, they clap as they spin and she always claps. So she likes Wheel of Fortune and JCVD. Just like Daddy.
My God. She really is her daughter's wait, hold on.
Her daughter's dad?
Son?
Wait a minute.
Hold on 1 second.
Wait a minute.
Oh God. Well, that's exciting.
Yeah. The fact that my daughter likes kickboxer at one, yes. That is awesome.
So you're starting her a kickboxer. What's next? Faces of Death when she turns three?
Well, yeah, because Braveheart it too, obviously. Like Clearly. we just discussed.
Well, see, we have to move on. But before we move on to this week's top five,
we need to show my daughter Rambo.
Okay. You know?
No? Not what you were going to say?
Well, no, I mean, I still need to see Rambo first.
You really do.
Yeah.
First Blood is just so good.
Am I old enough?
Let's see, my daughter's 1 year, 31-ish.
32,
I'm helping.
Ass.
I'm helping you. I'm helping you.
Oh, thank you. Thank
I'm
you.
Trying to help you here, bud.
Oh, thank you. I feel so much younger.
For all the ladies out there.
Thank you. Okay. No, we have to get into some emails from last week's Top 5, which was...
Best of 2017.
We have some emails. We have time to read a couple. The first one is from... the first one is from the other Steve.
Oh! Well, 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 other Steve.
His number five is Resident Evil 7.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Making it on two lists.
Oh, yeah. His number four is Logan, which I completely forgot about.
Oh, me too. I really liked Logan a lot.
It was so good. And you are sick of superhero films.
Yeah, and that's why I think I liked it so much. It didn't feel... Like I think part of the reason I'm so sick of superhero movies is they just feel like they have to manage like all these different superheroes and these gigantic, bigger than life set. You know, like in what Avengers 2, like the whole city, you know, is floating, like that Russian city, like yeah. lifts out of it. Like
it's very subtle.
It's subtle, baby. Yeah. Subtle. So I think that's what I liked about Logan was that it felt a little more. Like, controlled a little smaller in that way. I think it was good.
Grounded.
Grounded.
Grounded. His number three is Coco.
I haven't seen it yet.
Neither have I, but yeah. I really want to. He says, I'm Hispanic, so automatically it resonated with me, and I cried a lot. Great story and message about family.
I'm pretty sure Coco is already the highest grossing film in Mexican history. I'm pretty sure.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. His number two is Baby Driver.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It's so good.
I have to see it now. His number one, it's a surprise number one. His number one is Blade Runner 2049.
Almost watched it last night. I want to see it really bad.
He says, beautiful. Just beautiful, but not for everyone because it's super long and slow.
Okay. Glad I didn't watch it last night. Wasn't in a place for that.
Yeah, fair enough. Now, I remember, so I'm a part of this little movie group here in the city where there's like a 10 to 12 of us that we have a group text and whenever movies like this, it's with Not Your Holly, her group of friends.
Oh
yeah. Remember her?
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about her off the podcast, but yeah. She has this movie group. And when she and I became friends, I became part of the movie group. Anyway. So the story is we tend to see a bunch of sci-fi movies, superhero stuff.
Yeah.
Blade Runner 2049 came out and she texted all of us being like, well, hey, Blade Runner 2049. And everybody was like, nah, I'm busy that day. I'm busy that day. And she said, okay, guys, like, I get it. Nobody wants to see it. And I chimed in, by the way, I'm also busy that day. My point being that we all did not want to see this film because we all expected it to be a big pile of horseshit. And apparently it's great.
So I feel like I can't fully back this statement because I haven't seen it yet. Mm-hmm. But, and I know this is technically a sequel. I know the sequel is like 30 years later. But for a guy like me, who's tired of seeing a million superhero movies, you know, fifth movies in series, this or whatever, like, if this is the movie that I think it's supposed to be, like a thinking man's sci-fi movie, like, I absolutely should have gotten my ass to the theater to support a movie like that, that's smart and that is long. It's fine that it's long. As long as it's good, it doesn't matter that it's long.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because those are the movies that I want to see. And then I'm like, I'm so embarrassed that I've seen the movies on our list that's about to come up. I'm like, and I haven't seen Blade Runner 2049. Like, I am the problem. I am what's wrong with everything. I hate myself.
To be fair, you're not seeing those movies in the theater.
That's
true. Are you?
I'm not. And actually, I'm glad you talked about it real quick. Actually, you know, we're going to save that for, this is a thing to think, to remember for next week. I told you that I allow myself to see three movies a year at the theater.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try to pick out my three that I think they'll be. I want you to pick out your three for next week, just for funsies.
Okay, fair enough. The next email we have is from Andrew, writing in his top five. His number five is American Vandal.
Damn it, I would see it!
But Steve, you're going to watch it that night!
I know, and I didn't.
What did you do? What did you watch instead?
I'm sure one of these movies on my list I'm about to reveal to you.
Oh my God, you're such an ass.
I'm the problem.
His number four is Melodrama by Lord.
Oh, it's the album from the artist Lord.
Yes, that is what it is. Obviously, I don't know this. Have you heard it?
No, but I know she just headlined Lollapalooza here in Chicago this last year. It's her sophomore album. Very, very highly regarded, critically acclaimed.
He says, a brilliant album. Lore takes one of the eternal pop music themes, losing love and moving on, and writes a series of songs with clever lyrics, outstanding vocals, and impeccable production. That, weirdly enough, reminds me of 80s Queen.
Wow, okay.
There you go.
Interesting.
His number three is 80s All Over.
What is that?
Drew McWeeny and Scott Weinberg's podcast debuted at the end of 2016, but had its first full year in 2017.
Okay.
It's one of the funniest and most insightful discussions of film out there.
Really?
Yeah.
I wonder, do they only do 80s movies, I assume?
You're asking the wrong guy.
What is the name again?
80s All Over.
80s All Over. Okay.
And you're the guy who listens to My Dad Wrote a Porno, so
yes.
Ready for insightful discussion.
I am. I'm telling you, you know what? That's a great name, and it's a great podcast, so shut it.
His number two, man, he is running the gamut. His number two is Lincoln in the Bardo by George Saunders. The Booker Prize winner is a novel as...
books. Yes. I don't do books.
Yeah, you don't read.
Can't
Booker,
do it.
Is it the Booker Prize?
Sure.
Yeah, sure. The Booker Prize winner is a novel as absurdly hilarious, heartbreaking, and full of battered but real hope as America itself.
Wow. Steve? Did he just copy that blurb off of the back of the book?
Oh, probably. His number one is Lady Bird.
Ah.
Damn you! It's another movie that Steve hasn't seen.
Correct.
But yet he's seen shit like Geostorm.
Okay. How dare you say the exact same thing I've just been saying, despite the fact you didn't know I was going to say it, but apparently... You did.
I had bullets in the chamber for just such an occasion.
That's it. We're not reading his list anymore. Him and his foresight. Asshole.
Oh, thank you all so much for writing in. As always, we love hearing what you guys have to say. But we have to move on to this week's top five.
Real quick, have you seen Lady Bird?
No, but I haven't seen the shit you've seen.
So real quick, I do know that Lady Bird was rocking a 100 on Rotten Tomatoes for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably like 97 or something now. Also starring Saoirse Ronan, who was nominated for an Oscar last year as well. So, like, I'm aware of its existence. I just have been busy watching horrible, horrible films, and I can't make time for the good shit.
So, speaking of that, Steve, what is this week's top five?
This is my favorite podcast of the year.
Oh, God.
This is my worst of list. Wes gets 5, I get 63.
And that's only scratching the surface of the shit Steve watches.
My number 5, people who don't know how to merge onto highways.
And this is basically going to serve as Steve's open mic.
No, we're doing our worst from 2017. We did the best last week, doing the worst this week.
So, Steve, you say that this is your favorite podcast of the year. This is my hardest podcast of the year, because you know I'm always behind on everything, especially movies and video games.
And, I mean, it's my favorite because I hate everything.
That's true. But, so the best of list is hard enough, because I very rarely, I've seen so few current movies and video games from the last year. But because I'm so behind, I know what is bad and what is good. I tend to steer clear of the bad. So I really had to drag the bottom of the barrel for this one. And some of the stuff on mine isn't that bad, but it is some of the worst I've seen in the past year.
So just out of curiosity, you know, and obviously you're playing a lot of PSN games. You're playing a lot of, you know, you're about 2 years back.
Your
backlog's about 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
So of those ones that don't necessarily qualify for 2017, do you got anything that you played like, ugh, or watched?
Yeah. Metal Gear Solid 5.
All right.
The worst. That's my number one. No. I mean, there's going to be a couple on my list.
Okay.
That were from 2017. They were so bad that they were put on as a free game
okay.
a few months later.
Got it. Okay.
But, yeah. So why don't I start off?
Please.
This is going to be, again, it's not, I have to say it. My number 5 is the last season of The Walking Dead, season 7. It's not bad. It's just boring. It was so boring that I stopped watching it. And that's a big deal for me.
Right, because you sat through 39 seasons of Charmed.
Yeah, all 39. 22 episodes apiece. That is 6,000 episodes.
Look, we're not math majors, but that's about 6,000 episodes.
Yeah. Now, The Walking Dead just got so boring because it's just the same shit episode after episode, season after season. There's going to be zombies. There's going to be bad people rolling in.
Well, to be honest, if The Walking Dead all of a sudden was like they stopped with zombies and changed to, I don't know, like a cop drama, it would...
I understand that it's difficult to have a show set in the zombie apocalypse and not have zombie action happen, but it's like, I've seen this. I've seen this over and over again. These characters are going to die. We know that, because everybody's just walking around with like an egg timer on their heads, and when that timer goes off, they're done. But also, they made so many missteps. They cast Jeffrey Dean Morgan as Negan. Actually really good casting. And they're so excited about it that they never stop using him. Negan should have been used very sparingly, because he was very scary at first. But when we spend hours with him, there's only so many times where he can hover over somebody and smile creepily, and then kind of drawl in their ear and say something vaguely threatening, and then walk away. It's like, come on, dude. The first few times, maybe. The 39th time, I'm not so scared of you anymore.
This is what season?
They're currently on season 8, but I'm not watching it. But mine is season 7.
God. Yuck.
And they had these weird group of people called the Scavengers, where they're garbage people. They're actually living in a dump, and they have this weird religion, and they basically all talk like Drax from Guardians of the Galaxy. They speak in the third person. I'm like, how did this happen?
Yeah, what?
How did this start? The zombie
were they doing this before the zombies?
Were you LARPing before the zombie apocalypse happened, and you just decided to carry it on? Dude, it was just boring. They're just kind of plodding along, and they're just doing the same shit.
Just cashing checks right now?
Just cashing checks, baby.
You know what? As you know, I gave up on the show years ago.
Season 3.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Once they ruined the governor.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I am out. I had the thought that I would, like, okay, let this thing run a couple seasons, and if I hear that it gets back on track, sort of deal, I'll hop back in. I have had zero desire to hop back on board.
Yeah, which, I don't know, man. I thought seasons 4 and 5 were so good. I think they even made my best ofs.
Okay.
But season 7, man, it was just the same old shit.
All right.
Yeah,
okay.
So that's my number 5.
All right, number 5. So while I wasn't watching Blade Runner or Lady Bird.
What were you watching, Steve?
I had the distinct privilege of spending approximately 1 hour 45 of my life watching a little ditty called The Hitman's Bodyguard.
What are you talking about?
So,
is that a movie? What is that?
Yes, it's a movie. It stars Ryan Reynolds and Samuel L. Jackson.
You watched this movie.
Now, I'm not going to lie to you. And wifey, baby, doll, I love you. This was a Holly pick. And this is not, I don't blame her. Except that I just absolutely did.
Look, I don't blame her, but it's her fault.
Look, I've been watching a little bit too much news, okay? That's how it goes. So every once in a while, not every once in a while, often, my wife and I, after...
often, she picks bad movies.
No, often we want a... Like, I know Lady Bird is good. I know Blade Runner is long and good, but like... It's a Friday night. We've just, like, we finally put the baby down. You know, like, and when we were youthful, Friday night, you're like, yeah, we're going out.
Mm-hmm.
And now in my life, Friday, I'm like, oh my God, I can go to bed.
Everything hurts.
I can go to bed and I can sleep maybe an extra 45. I'll wake up at 6:45 tomorrow morning. You know, like. So what we're usually looking for is just something that's, like, fun and light, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not looking for a really complex bourbon. I just want a Miller Lite, you know? Just want something just to whatever. That's what we're looking for on a couple of these movies that we will see here. But The Hitman's Bodyguard, supposed to be kind of a buddy cop-ish sort of deal, kind of turned on its head with Ryan Reynolds and Samuel Jackson. You're like, all right. Highest this baby's gonna top out is a 74. That's the highest this baby's gonna go.
See, I'm on the opposite end. I'm like, how can this go wrong?
Like, but I mean, hey, let's give it a go. And talking about cash and paychecks, man, Ryan Reynolds clearly needed some more money before he got to Deadpool 2.
Sure,
he is. The thing is, I really like Ryan Reynolds. I feel like I like him as a person.
Yeah.
But when I think about the movies that he has done, Van Wilder, Deadpool, have you liked him in anything else?
Waiting. He was good in Waiting.
Okay.
Yeah, I get your point.
Sure.
I get your point.
He's just fine in Waiting. You're not wrong. But that baby ain't bringing home the bacon, okay? Like, Green Lantern was horrific.
Oh, God.
Him in X-Men, what was it, Origins, was, and it's not his fault, they absolutely butchered the character.
Yeah.
Like, terrible. He's terrible. And, like, they just don't know how to use that dude. And he's never anyone different than, you know, he's not a Christian Bale. He's not a Daniel Day-Lewis that puts on this mask and becomes a different person. It's like, Ryan Reynolds always has the same delivery with that kind of snarky, short, sarcastic tone,
mm-hmm.
and, like, is just impossibly handsome. Like,
just improbably.
So, this doesn't work because Samuel L. Jackson is in this movie just like every other fucking movie that's ever been made. Samuel Jackson is in every movie. Every movie. What's the last movie you watched? Samuel Jackson featured. Guarantee it. Guarantee it. He was also in season 7 of The Walking Dead.
Oh, I knew it.
Didn't know if you knew that. He was in there.
Oh, wow.
Guaranteed. Was a camera on? Samuel Jackson was there.
Oh, my God.
This was supposed to be, you know, this kind of like buddy cop, you know, like we're together because we're like, we don't want to be together, but we're stuck here together. We got to get through this thing. And, like, there's no chemistry at all. the woman that Ryan Reynolds is supposed to be, like, wooing back doesn't give a shit about him, and it is so obvious. So therefore, I don't give a shit about it. Like, it's terrible. Mm-hmm. That, like, and the end of the movie, no one gives a shit about the villain. No, like, it's just, like, hey, Samuel Jackson and Ryan Reynolds are stuck in a car together for like 2 days. Well, Samuel Jackson keeps dropping F-bombs, of course, and Ryan Reynolds is like, that is very rude. I'm a sarcastic white guy. Great. Can this be done, please? It's terrible. Do not watch it ever.
Okay.
Ever.
Don't worry. I didn't even know it was a thing until you put it on there.
Now you know to avoid it.
Why? How? Why? What reason did Holly give to rent this?
Because when you think about the, you know, if you're looking at the blurb on it, it's essentially a buddy cop thing with Ryan Reynolds and Samuel Jackson. They're both kind of like hitmen. Like, okay, it's going to be dumb. It's but hopefully there'll be like good action sequences, you know, fun banter between the two. And like, I don't know, it's not going to be great, but hopefully it'll be fun. I'm looking for something fun. This felt like a job. Like, as we're like, okay, do I get a 15-minute break? Nope. Keep plugging along.
God.
Do I get paid overtime? Sure don't.
Oh, God, but union rules. Come on.
Nope, can't do it. No smoke breaks. Sit your ass down. Watch the Hitman's Bodyguard.
Oh, God.
Not good. Not good at all.
So what would you give it on the old 1 to 100 scale?
God, 0 to 100. Keep that in mind.
Oh, sorry. 0 to 100.
It's not a 0, but this is a...
It is a 1.
However, this movie is probably a 39.
30, okay.
39, probably. Okay. 35 to 39.
And just so people know, what did you give Prometheus?
A 0. No, I gave it, what did I say, 11?
You gave it an 8.
And Wes is my favorite response from Wes ever. Eight! You gave it an 8! Hyperventilate. I believe the lowest score to date.
No, I gave
Deathstalker.
I gave Deathstalker a 5.
A 1.
I think the response you're talking about is when... You gave Deathstalker like a 21.
Oh, that's right. That's
and
right.
That's when I started hyperventilating.
That's right.
Because I could not believe you, and I still think you should be ashamed of yourself.
Don't worry. I'm always ashamed of myself, but not because of Deathstalker.
Oh, God.
Number 5, Hitman's Bodyguard.
My number 4 is a PS Plus free game that came out in April 2017, and I think it was a free game in May 2017. It was called Drawn to Death. Picture a third-person shooter, online shooter, with no local play, I don't think. And just, so picture that.
Okay.
Then take away all the fun. Take away all the intuitive controls.
Great.
Take away all of the interesting gameplay.
Oh,
all
right.
Yeah, yeah. And that's pretty much what you have.
I'm looking at a...
Oh, just ratchet the difficulty up, too. There's no tutorial. There's no easy mode. There's just like, you're just thrown in to online battle with people who have been playing this, who are good at third-person shooters. So it's spawn, headshot dead. Respawn, headshot dead.
So what's the style of, is it like a Modern Warfare kind of thing? Is it like...
No, it's picture... Okay, so the art style is basically doodles in a notebook.
Wow, this sounds just like the biggest pile of crap.
It is one of the biggest piles of crap I played. It is awful. I hated it. And granted, I'm not a third-person shooter guy. So yeah, that's the art style and the gameplay. I don't know, it's a third-person shooter. There's levels, but they all look like they were scribbled in a notebook. It's bad, man. The art style is not interesting. The character design is not interesting. The gameplay is not intuitive. The controls suck. I hated it. I played it for about 20 minutes. Deleted.
Wow. To get deleted off of Wes's PS4 is...
After 20 minutes.
After 20 minutes, especially.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not even breaking the 1 hour mark.
Oh, yeah.
That's rare air right there.
That is rare.
Wow.
So I did not like it.
What is it called again?
Drawn to Death.
Drawn to Death. Okay.
And I killed it.
After it killed you.
Killed my soul.
Speaking of third-person action shooters, it's my number four.
Oh.
It's going to be Battlefront 2.
Wow, really?
Yes. And I'm kind of lumping some other stuff in there. And for those who are not in the video game realm, this was the lightning rod of video games for 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Because basically, you can buy whatever you want in Battlefront 2. You can buy wins in multiplayer. You can buy characters. You can buy weapons. It will take you forever to unlock them on your own, but you can just swipe your card and buy whatever you want in the game.
That's right. I remember this.
So this was very much the problem with this game is the business model of the game is clearly to just milk you of money via the game. It's not for the, you know, enjoyment of playing it. It's not for, most of us who play video games, you know, we've played games where you level up, you unlock weapons, you unlock characters, you do, like, you gain new abilities, you do, and, like, it's your reward for plugging along at the game. And this game just turns it on its head where it's like, yeah, you can do that. It'll take you 6 months to get the next gun. It's like, how about you just pay a couple bucks and we'll get you, you can be Darth Vader. It's like, what?
Oh, dude.
Wait a minute. And this is, so it's Battlefront 2, but it's also the online monetizing of games is really what my number four is that has been going on for a while, but Battlefront kind of brought it to a head in 2017. But I played Madden 2018, which I don't buy those games because I get bored of them super fast and because of this, but like, in every single mode of the game, I know you're not a sports gamer, but anyone who is, you know the way that this game goes. You can play a game by itself. You can play a game online, or you can do like the dynasty thing where you do one team over years and years and years of seasons. And now in every single mode, there is some way to buy this thing or add this thing or to do, like, you have to have an online connection to play. That's like, why do I need to have an online connection to play with the computer? Mm-hmm. That is sitting in my living room. No, I do not. I don't want you monitoring what I'm playing and, like, trying to feed new advertisements and feed, like, roster adjustments for $10 or this. Or so it happens with Madden. It happens with Battlefront. It happens with video games that you buy them on, like, Saturday, and then on Monday there is paid additional levels and additional DLC.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you greedy assholes. Like, put that in the game. Mm-hmm. That's where it should be. That, like, if 2 years down the road you want to try to, like, revamp this game and bring some more people back and, like, fine. But to have day of DLC, to have, you know, downloadable content. Destiny 2 had a bunch of issues with this. Like, mm-hmm. The idea of you spending $60 for a game and it's, like, the shell of a game that as soon as you bring it home, you have to take up space on your system. And then essentially insert your credit card into your controller to then play the game you were promised to play. Absolutely rubs me the wrong way.
Like, oh, sure.
I hate it. I hate that we have to pay to be online to play games now for mm-hmm. Xbox, for PlayStation, at least not PC. But it's like the systems are not cheap. You know, I guess they're cheaper than they used to be. But like $300-$400 for a system and then games are $60, dude. Like,
yeah.
$60. And especially if you're buying a game like Uncharted, where it's a, you know, a single story, $60 to play through whatever, what, maybe 15 hours of gameplay?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that? Like, it's not cheap.
No, definitely not.
So, I don't know. I just feel like they're just milking people, and they're just trying to get every dime out of every, and it's turning all traditional conventions on its head, and I hate the trend in which it's going.
And you know what? As a person, I do like to be milked, but not for money. You know what I mean? No, this is one of the reasons why I'm so far behind on video games, because I refuse to pay $60 for a brand new game because of what you're just saying. A lot of games come out and they have these day one patches or day one DLC. And what are my favorite of your rants is Arkham Origins when you came home and it was just a broken game.
Yeah.
And it was, I'm like, this is why I don't like to spend $60. I understand that game developers need their money. But I personally just can't justify spending $60 on a game, because of these things. So that's why I feel like I'm just talking myself in circles now, but the point is that's why I'm so far behind.
No, and that's, and it just sucks that the new business model, and I understand that when we buy a used game, that the game developers get absolutely no money from that, and I want to give money to the guys that make the game. I get that. But this business model of sending incomplete packages, or like, there was a great little meme I saw once that was that kind of explained this in modern terms, where it was like, it's like, the way it used to be was you would buy a cheeseburger. And you had a full cheeseburger. It's like, by the way, would you like to add a Coke and fries to that, which were separate downloadable content, completely different from the game? You're like, cool. I'll take those, or I will not. And now it's like, hi, you just bought buns. Would you like to buy the meat and the cheese and the lettuce and the tomato and the this? It's like, no, that should all be inside of the buns. Like, that's what I bought. That's what I bought.
Sure. Yeah.
So I just hate that that's the current model. So my number four is technically Battlefront 2, but it's really just kind of the continuing money making cycle of video games now.
Man, and you thought Five and Out didn't get into partisan issues?
Whoa.
Oh boy! All right. So my number three is, oh my god, this game was just so forgettable. My number three is The Bellows, which, it's a VR game. I only bought it for $5 just because.
And it's still on your list.
Because it's so bad. This was back when I first got the VR, and I was just looking for cheap games just to see what I could find on VR. And this is supposed to be a creepy horror game. It's split into two levels, and it takes about, and it lasts about, I don't know, 30 minutes. For $5, whatever. Five. But you're just walking around this creepy haunted house.
Oh, shit. We played this.
You played this.
Oh, this game is horrible.
It's awful. But it doesn't even, the graphics are so bad. The controls are not intuitive. It's not scary. It's not creepy. You're just walking around until random jump scares jump up in your face. And for me, I hate jump scares. A, because they work. And B, because they're cheap. But yeah, that's the game. You're just walking around until somebody literally jumps in your face.
And here's how you know this game is truly bad. Well, A, you know, because I can't even tell you what the concept of the game is. You're just in like some creepy house for no reason, right?
There's no story.
Okay, great. This is how you know a horror game is truly awful. Is that Wes and I wanted it to be scary. Like,
yeah.
We put ourselves in the mindset to be like, we had this brand new technology. We're like, oh, dude, like, here we go. Like, oh, man, it's going to be so scary. Like, even the first couple, like, shitty things that happened, we're like, oh, hey, that's fun, right? Hey, like, we're trying. It reminds me so much of, like, a family member, or, like, a friend brings over their shitty girlfriend, and you're like, hey, he really likes his girlfriend. I'm like, hey, we're going to make some jokes. We're going to have a good time. And she makes some sort of really off-color comment. You're like, I don't know about that. And then after like 5 minutes, you're like, oh, you're awful. You're terrible. I hate you. I really wanted to like you. I hate you. And I need to now have a conversation with my brother about why he likes you.
That is the perfect way of describing this game. We wanted to like it, but we just couldn't.
It's impossible.
It's impossible to like. And it's so bad and so not well known, I couldn't find the release date for this game online. It could have been released in 2014 for all I know. But we played in 2017, so it made my list.
I like that the developer's like, we need to wash this from the internet. Do you understand? What's the release date?
Never! It was never released, and you can never prove that it was.
The Bellows. You even said the name. I was like, what is that?
And you played it.
I played that game.
And The Bellows has nothing. The name has nothing to do with the game.
God, that game sucks.
What? Oh, my God. I am so mad now. It's so bad. It's so bad. And now I have so many good VR games.
God.
That, I tell you what, that game was another West Elite.
Well, it also makes sense that Resident Evil 7 is on your best of.
Mm.
That's a good VR horror game. Mm. The Bellows like, hey, we're a VR horror game.
Shut up, Bellows.
Shut up.
Shut up. Get back in your hole.
God damn it, Bellows. Go back to nowhere where you came from.
You were never released. I cannot find proof that you were.
Your parents don't even acknowledge that you were born, Bellows.
That's my number three. The goddamn Bellows.
Hey, those Bellows. All right. Another
those,
red boxer.
Those Bellows.
Another red boxer coming at you.
This a Holly pick?
No. No. She signed off on it. Oh. This was a mutual pick.
Oh, so
I was a
co-signer.
Again, same score. Looking for something fun. Light, just kind of having a good time, you know, have a beer, baby's asleep, that sort of deal. It's a sequel, and it is Kingsman Golden Circle, number 3.
I take it it's a sequel to The Kingsman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you not seen The Kingsman?
No.
Kingsman is the movie I just mentioned.
Okay.
It's fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit different. It's kind of a James Bond, not quite a parody, but it's... You know, kind of pokes fun at it a little bit, and like, it's kind of crass. There's some good, actually, a couple of amazing action sequences, a couple that are just awesome, and it's fun and it's good and it felt a little bit different. And I was like, cool, that was good. I like that. That came in at like a strong 80, real strong 80, 82 maybe.
Okay, okay,
and then. So you got Golden Circles, the sequel coming at you. I was like, all right. I don't think it's going to be one of those that surpasses the original.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as we kind of keep the fun and we do our thing, it'll be a fun time.
Sure.
Wrong. No. Doesn't work. Shitbox. Over. Moving on.
What was so bad about it?
Dude, it's just... So all of the things that are good about the first one, really fun action sequences, like fun banter, like that stuff's gone. It is not a fun movie. It tries to get like serious somehow, and then like the quote unquote fun parts are just so like crass and like I'm not a dude that like shies away from like you know crass stuff and. Vulgar language and...
No, you proudly...
And fuck you, West!
You proudly fart in public.
That's right. That's right, everyone. Watch out when you're walking behind me. I don't like that I said that. I don't like that we just said that. It's not true, but I'll roll with it.
Fair enough.
There's a point in the movie where he has to put this, like, tracking thing on this woman. And I'm like, oh, well, the only way to put it, like, put this tracking thing on her is to finger her...
What?
So they do this, like, terrible visual of, like, going into her bloodstream. Like, it's so awful. And not because the action of it is so bad. It's just so, like, oh, then we're going to do this fingering bit. It's like, why? It's so dumb and awful.
What? I'm still on the fingering bit.
Yeah. I know. Believe me, it takes a while to wrap your head around.
How does this work? The only way we can plant this tracker on this woman.
It was like you had to get into her bloodstream or something like that.
And there's no other way to
apparently
her bloodstream?
It was like, apparently, like, that was, because this girl's like putting the moves on him, apparently it was like the only way to do it. I honestly don't truly remember because it was so bad. I was like, I just encapsulated it. I was like, oh, this is a horrible thing. And flush.
Oh, God.
Goodbye. Bye, bye, bye.
That sounds awful.
It is awful. And then the villain is Julianne Moore, who is an incredibly talented actress, who is absolutely 100% wasted in this movie.
Ugh, yeah.
Don't use her at all. She lives in like an Amazon rainforest like lair, but her lair is modeled after like 1950s America.
Ugh.
So she has a diner and like a movie theater. And for some reason, she has Elton John as a captive there. Yes.
What?
I know it sounds like I'm tripping balls right now. This is what happens. And Elton John goes crazy and starts like kicking dudes in the face eventually becomes like an action star. Dude, it's she has two robotic pit bulls that rip dudes apart for no reason.
Are you sure you didn't watch the new Austin Powers movie?
It's awful, dude. It is awful. You have, I think, two Academy Award winners in this movie. Oh, yeah. And oh, no. Actually, sorry. The first Kingsman has Samuel L. Jackson. And he's technically in the second because they flash back to the first.
Sure.
But actually, no. I take that back. You have another Academy Award winner who's just as bad. Halle Berry is in there as well. Which, by the way, Halle Berry hasn't made a good movie in like 10 years.
When was the last good Halle Berry movie?
I didn't even see it, but I know she won an Oscar for Monsters Ball.
Okay.
And that was like 03, I think.
What was the first good Halle Berry movie?
Swordfish. She showed her boobs.
Okay, fair enough.
And they are spectacular.
Got it.
Spectacular. So you have Colin Firth, who won an Oscar. Mm-hmm. Julianne Moore, I'm pretty sure, won an Oscar.
I think Elton John won an Oscar.
Elton John. Oscar. He may have for Can You Feel the Love Tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
Halle Berry won an Oscar. None of them should be in this movie. None of them. Horrible. It's terrible.
Horrible.
It sounds awful.
Robotic pit bulls.
Robotic pit bulls.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Like you do.
Yep. It's bad.
So your number three was?
Kingsman. Golden Circle. That big old shit pile.
Well, my number two, it was on my list, I think, a couple years ago, the last time we did this. My number two is Big Bang Theory.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. I stopped watching it. By the way, in case you can't tell, 5-6 months ago now, I went through the list of TV shows in my mind that I was watching, and I purged a bunch of them.
Good.
Walking Dead was one. The Big Bang Theory was another. Because, again, it's a 10th season of this effing sitcom that hasn't really been good. I will argue that the first few seasons are actually funny.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're very, I mean, it's pretty much, it's laughing at these people humor. It's not, I don't know, actual good humor, I guess. I don't know. Okay. I thought it was funny. But it's just, they've been doing the same shit for the past 10 seasons. And it's, after this long in a sitcom, the characters are just caricatures of themselves. And it's just the same people doing the same things. And sure, now these people are married, these people have a baby, this person has a new job, but it's still the same shit over and over again.
And now a spinoff.
Young Sheldon. And now I'm mad at myself for not watching Young Sheldon just so it could be my number one.
But the only time you're like, I wish I had watched Young Sheldon.
Yeah. It's just, I can't even remember what happened in season 10 because it's just the same shit over and over again.
Wait, have you watched, how many seasons have you watched?
10.
Wes.
I've watched every episode of 10 seasons.
Wes.
I've watched all 24 episodes each season. Is that bad? It's roughly 6,000 episodes.
So you watched 240 episodes, is that correct?
Sure.
Let's call it 240.
Yeah.
Those episodes are what, approximately 22 minutes long?
Oh, don't do the math.
Is that right?
So, Steve, don't do the math.
Oh, boy.
Steve, for the love of God, please don't do the math.
Good Lord.
Oh, no. God, oh, Steve. Wes. Steve, what's happening?
Wes, you've watched you've spent over 3.5 days of your life watching The Big Bang Theory. 3 2/3 days.
Those are days I'll never get back.
You will never. You've spent over 5,000 minutes watching.
Oh, God. Well,
88 hours, Wes.
God, that's tough.
That's
a tough realization.
And thank you for coming on here to my deep confessions.
Hi, my name is Wesley, and I've seen The Big Bang Theory.
Oh, God. Oh, hi, Wes.
Oh, God. So embarrassing.
Sorry, this guy does heroin, but you are really taking us. You're really setting this place on fire, Wes.
This guy's been in rehab, jail, homeless, jobless, but you've seen 10 seasons of The Big Bang Theory.
We've reached a new low.
Oh, God. Get out of here, sir.
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 If I dare to call you that.
Yeah, it's just bad. But
oh, God.
You can't even look me in the eyes.
Sir, honestly, I didn't know you watched this show.
Yeah, we've talked about it multiple times.
You know what? I think similar to the finger bang section of The Kingsman, I said, oh, this is awful. flush. I won't think about it. Because it's one of those things when, I mean, I hate to do this, but I think in some level we all do this. It's a social thing that we do. Or like, you meet someone new and you're like, hey, what do you like? Do we have similar interests? And I swear to God, if someone leads off with me like, oh, hey, this is my brother. Oh, hey, man, how you doing? You know, what do you watch? What is it? He's like, oh, man, you know, I've seen every episode of The Big Bang Theory. I'm like, oh, I feel differently about you now.
I feel cold.
I do not want to pursue any sort of relationship with you in any way, shape, or form.
It's like your mind does an instant reboot. Oh, and what's your name again?
Hi, nice to meet you. We've been talking for 5 minutes. That's not true.
That's right.
Wait, did you mention the big...
Hi, nice to meet you.
Does he do this every time?
Sure does.
Yeah, Big Bang there. It's a defense mechanism he's learned.
Yeah, that's my number two.
Where, real quick, give me the shows you've watched that you are the most remorseful about.
Obviously. Charmed.
Is that number one?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
8 seasons of Charmed. 8!
10 of the Big Bang Theory!
10 of the Big Bang Theory. The last... I mean, How I Met Your Mother started out really well, but...
Yeah, a lot of people... I'll give you that.
Yeah.
A lot of people are on board.
Those are probably the big two.
Those are the icebergs coming to sink you.
Charmed was the big one, but Big Bang Theory flanked me.
That's what happens, like... Because you can see Charmed come. Maybe that's my problem. I was like, iceberg! Dead ahead! And I thought we were like, hey, we're going to get around the Charmed thing. Didn't see the Big Bang Theory coming from the side.
Yeah, the whole, it's a sneaky one.
That is, yeah. You got me. That was a stealth attack. All right.
Yep. I rocked you.
All right.
It's my number two, Big Bang Theory, season 10.
So my number two, you said in jest earlier we don't talk about bipartisan issues. Guess what? I for real am talking about a bipartisan issue.
Ooh, I specifically steered away from politics.
And I see an iceberg dead ahead.
Oh, God. What is it?
Net neutrality.
Oh, my God, yes.
So I don't – if you're on the other side – I'll talk to you about guns if you want to talk about guns. I will not talk to you if you want to talk about net neutrality. Because y'all, pardon my language, can go fuck yourself.
Oh, my God.
It's a complete sham. And I don't care if you're a Democrat or Republican or where you fall on the spectrum. The idea of taking the internet, which has absolutely revolutionized the entire world, whether that is socially, in a business aspect, industrial, entertainment-wise, like nothing is the same from when we were a kid. And everyone will say that about their generation. Like some people, like, well, we got color TV. Like, we got an antenna. Like, we got the fucking internet. Like,
yeah.
We got the world delivered to our desk.
Yeah.
Like, and now we're going to monetize it in a way where businesses that are starting up cannot compete on the internet because they don't have the money to go into a fast lane. Mm-hmm. We are to the point where we are going to censor what is shown because of the internet provider that you have, which is a complete monopoly. So in our area, you can only really get one internet provider. So that means we will only be able to digest news from certain sources that Comcast, as we should. If you're on the East Coast, what, a Time Warner? Mm-hmm. And then West Coast is something, Cox or something like that. And I'm not joking, it's COX, mm-hmm. but it might as well be COCKS. Might as well. So the idea of taking the most heavily consumed thing in the world, in the United States, and breaking it down into what they want to feed us, as opposed to giving us full access to whatever we want, that is not America. That is China, that is Russia, that is some, like, that's not what we do. Mm-hmm. And this is clearly to line the pockets of these multi-trillion-dollar cable companies and the politicians that put them in effect. Political rant over. I hate it. I hope it gets overturned shortly.
There's a few states that have demanded net neutrality rules, and they've overruled the federal thing. So hopefully Illinois will become one of those states. But you gloss over something that I think is very important. The FCC said that taking away net neutrality rules will increase competition between internet companies. But they're overlooking the fact that over 50% of Americans live in a place that only have access to one internet provider.
Right.
So they can do whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah.
If they want to slow down certain sites because, like you said, the businesses cannot pay for the fast lane. If they want to block certain sites, I mean, this is so far down the road, but it is they could do this. They could block certain liberal news sites or conservative news sites,
yeah, whichever.
They can give you internet packages. They can, you know, the basic package is Netflix, Twitter, Facebook. You get the main ones. But if you want these other sites, you have to pay $5 more a month. If you want, I forgot what this is, but there is an internet provider that owns a search engine that is not Google.
Sure.
So they could block access to Google to make you use their search engine.
Their Bing or whatever it is.
Yeah. So this is obviously, and I feel like a lot of people, they were very, very angry about net neutrality. And then the vote passed. Nothing changed. And people kind of calmed down because nothing changed. But things, if we don't address this, things will start changing.
Absolutely. And it's going to be something small at first, and then they turn the screws and turn the screws. It's kind of like they're smart enough to know that, like, net neutrality, they're not the next day going to be like, by the way, now you only get 4 websites. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, it's going to be a couple years, but this is obviously the long game. You know, like, it's the long con. They know that. That's why they're these businesses. And if you are confused on what net neutrality is, because we're going to, like, it's not necessarily our job to go through this in depth. That's not what we do. And I'm even kind of breaking our rules, bringing in something this political as well. But real quick, this does tie into TV, video games, and movies, because just like your cable package you have now, like, you can't watch Game of Thrones if you don't have the HBO package or whatever. And for people like you and I, for years, we just went on a certain website, perhaps, and found a way to watch it. They are going to throttle you at the source and not allow you to get to that website to get those things anyway. Mm-hmm. So it's going to affect the way you consume TV shows. It's going to affect the way that you stream Netflix. What if you now, your Netflix package is what, $11 a month, but now you have to pay an additional $10 a month to your cable supplier so that they will allow Netflix to actually run at the speed Netflix needs to run to give you HD. So, like, there's all these ways it's going to affect us. Everyone has, we were just saying, you have to pay to be online for PlayStation 4, Xbox One. Now, what if it's, you want an online game? That's an additional $15 to your cable package to allow you in the fast lane of doing this. Mm-hmm. The internet becomes this segregated, pay-to-play space instead of this open-for-everybody thing. But if you're not familiar with how this works, please go see The Last Week Tonight that John Oliver did a little while ago about that explains net neutrality, and he also explains how bad of a name net neutrality is. It's like programmed to make people not care about it.
Yeah.
But that explains everything in the way only John Oliver can do. But that's my number two. Really should be my number one. But net neutrality rules is a huge concern for me and a huge problem for America.
And, I could not agree more. And it should be our number one, but it's not as bad as my number one, which is Iron Fist. I mean, net neutrality, we could talk about that all day. That net neutrality only affects us every second of every day for the rest of our lives. Iron Fist exists, though, and that's pretty bad, too. Did you ever think about that, Steve?
You know what, Wes? You're a true visionary.
Thank you.
Thank God. You're like a prophet. Stand on the high mountain and speak to me, Wes.
You know what? I would accept FCC repealing net neutrality if they only slowed down or blocked Iron Fist. That would be great. Because I hated this series. I think I watched it in 3 days when I was sick.
In between the Big Bang Theories?
Oh, yeah. I had to catch up on those. No, this is one of the Marvel's Netflix shows, and it is the worst show in the world because the protagonist you hate. He's a petulant child who just throws tantrums all the time. If he's not throwing tantrums, then he's spewing, I don't want to say Buddhist bullshit, but it sounds like Buddhist bullshit. But, like, I don't want to say that because I actually like meditation, some of their teachings, but he just spouts all this shit all the time. Like, you must find peace within, like, the flower within your heart. Like, shut up, Iron Fist! Good Lord! And Finn Jones plays Danny Rand, Iron Fist. He is the least interesting person. It's like watching a wet piece of bread trying to act.
He's the opposite of the Dos Equis guy, the most interesting man in the world.
He's the least interesting man in the world. It's like I try to focus on him, but my eyes will focus anywhere else because he's so uninteresting.
He's like, sometimes I think about toasting my bread, like, oh, but then I don't.
Oh my God, Danny Rand, why don't you do something? He is purely reactionary in this show. And it is him. It's clear that he did the bare minimum of training, because his fights are so, you know, good martial arts choreography makes it look brutal and almost like a dance, like very choreographed and stuff.
See John Wick.
Yeah. His fight choreography is like, oh, I don't know, your grandfather trying to dubstep. It's that level of clunky. It's that level of just pure awful. It's bad, dude. And I'm just ranting on Danny Rand, but the whole show itself, this is the world's greatest martial artist, and his main villain is a corporate businessman with no martial arts training.
Who could be taken down with, like, a singular punch.
Yes, exactly.
By me, no less.
Oh, my God. And it's the most uninteresting villains. I can't remember anything about it except that I hated it. And for whatever reason, Marvel's like, no, we've stuck with Finn Jones. We're going to keep Finn Jones. I'm like, why? You recast War Machine. Why can't you recast this asshole?
Like, hey, look. When you make a mistake, call it what it is, okay?
Jesus Christ, okay? Man. Oh, God, I hated it.
And you know what? When they recasted War Machine, it's Academy Award nominee Don Cheadle, okay?
Like, yeah.
Like, not some asshole.
Yeah, man, it is. It's just bad. And then he sucked it up in the Defenders.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Let me be clear. They replaced with Don Cheadle, right? It was
Terrence Howard.
Terrence Howard, who is decent. He was good as War Machine too. Or
yeah.
He wasn't technically War Machine at that point, right?
He was. What was his name?
War Toddler, I think.
War Toddler. Yep.
Battle Toddler.
Battle Baby.
That was him. Took a minute, but we got there. Battle Baby. That was him.
Yeah, man. It is. It's so bad. It's 13 episodes of pure awful.
That's it. You just have a stomach for crap.
Yep, we got a stomach full of crap.
You sat through 10 seasons of Big Bang Theory, 39 seasons Charmed, the whole Iron Fist. I mean, you once you put your mind to it, you're a stick-to-er.
That's what they call me. Wesley Stick-to-er Whitaker.
And that's why you have those restraining orders.
Oh, yep. That's fun to talk about. That's fun to put out there.
All right. So what was your number one?
My number one is Iron Fist. So much worse than that.
Specifically, was it Finn?
Finn Jones.
Real quick, completely unrelated to anything, but since we said Battle Baby, it made me think of this. Do you remember, back in the day, it was like an early 90s commercial. Do you remember the 1-800-COLLECT commercials?
No.
Okay.
Great.
Real quick, there was, for those, then I'm talking to you out there, not Wes, because this commercial is great. Like, middle-aged dude stands up, goes to the phone, and he goes, will you accept a collect call from Bob? We had a baby, eats a boy. Do you remember this?
No.
It was... back in the day when collect phone calls were a thing. Mm-hmm. And so they show the guy, he's in his scrubs, and he's holding his brand new baby. And he doesn't want to pay for the collect phone charges. So he says, "We had a baby, it's a boy." So the dad hangs up the phone and he goes, it's like, "Who was that?" It's like, "It's Bob. They had a baby. It's a boy." It's a very good commercial. And I was hoping that you'd remember it, but now I feel like an asshole. So,
well, Steve, that's par for the course for you.
My number one, net neutrality. No,
oh, wow.
Sorry. My number one is Donald Trump. No, that's not.
Oh, wow. Let's get into it.
My number one, if you thought Donald Trump was bad, then you haven't seen The Mummy. So let me tell you a little story about how this got to number one.
It's like how you snuck net neutrality in there with very impassioned rant. You're like, but it's not as bad as The Mummy.
I felt like if I'm going to go a little political on it, just slightly, because it actually does affect TV, video games, and movies, mm-hmm. more so that directly than Donald Trump. Because my true number one, obviously the worst thing that happened in 2017 for the country, for us as individuals, is Donald Trump. But yep. That's a different time. The worst movie, the worst video game, the worst anything that I consumed was The Mummy. So when you and I spoke the other day, we're like, cool, so we're obviously going to do worst of next, right? And instantly I was like, oh my God, what is that movie that I fucking hate? And I hated it so much. I just remembered the feeling of the movie. I remembered the way it made me feel. And like, I couldn't remember the name. It was almost like a super abusive, like, ex-girlfriend. We're like, I never want to feel like that again. I will never, ever speak the name, Tanya again.
God, you had to go through the Rolodex, didn't you?
I was like, I don't know, who's, like, Tanya. I will never, and then someone says Tanya, you're like, oh! No! It all came, rushing back. I was like, no! 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 I can't. I just can't. The Mummy.
Oh, God.
Oh, God is right. Oh, my God. It is horrible. Wes.
Yes.
It is horrible.
Steve, was it good?
I mean, it was pretty good. I mean, it had its moments.
Yeah, sure.
I believe it is nominated for 7 Razzies, by the way.
Oh, God.
So,
start from the beginning.
No, I can't. I cannot do the whole thing. It's too much. I need to go at it this way. Never, ever have I watched a movie and I said, God damn it, I miss Brandon Fraser. Never, ever in my life have I thought that. Mm-hmm. And I thought that a dozen times in this movie. I was like, you know what? And towards the end of the movie, I was like, I should call Brandon Fraser. We need him. He's not the hero we deserve. But he is the hero we need right now. That's for sure. Do you remember the glory days of the original Mummy?
Yeah, with Brendan Fraser.
I thought it was Brandon.
Let's call him up.
B!
Hey,
what's
B,
up, B?
B. Fraser.
Damn, B. Fraser.
Okay, now I'm looking it up, but go ahead.
Okay. I mean, how fun was the original Mummy?
Oh, it was so much fun, dude. I loved it.
Man, like, great, great chemistry with the whole cast. I mean, the giant sand face coming at you was so cool for the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, it had this kind of Indiana Jones, but like more comedy. It was just with a little bit of romance. It was just so fun. It was good for all ages. It was wonderful.
Oh, it was great. It made you feel good inside.
Yeah, and there were those creepy little scarab beetle things. So, I mean, it had everything. And again, it's not one of the greatest films of all time, but it was a super fun movie.
Yeah.
And it seems like when they were rebooting The Mummy for this. When
they're
booting it. That's really what they did. They're like, hey, do you guys remember the old Mummy? Like, oh, man, it was great. Yeah, Brandon Fraser. Brandon Fraser. Everyone loves it. Hey, let's do that. Except make it really shitty and nothing like the first one.
Jim, I hear what you're saying. And I love it.
I love it. I love it. It's nothing like the first one, except that there is sand. There is sand. So I guess it's the same.
Yeah, sure. And is there a mummy?
Nah, kinda.
Oh, really?
It's not the same.
Okay, fair enough.
Don't forget, I honestly forgot that this existed. Russell Crowe is in this movie.
What?
Academy Award winning Russell Crowe. 3-time nominated Russell Crowe.
Samuel L. Jackson.
Samuel L. Jackson, of course, is it. He's playing the sand. for no reason at all. Russell Crowe plays Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
What?
Yes.
Wait, yes. Wasn't this the first attempt of making a shared universe?
Well, I don't know what fucking universes are being shared. But I'll tell you what. Someone should have kept their own universe. It is horrible.
No, I think this was they were the classic monsters. The Mummy, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, the Wolfman, Dracula. I think they're rebooting all of them, and they're going to make a shared universe with them.
Great. Guess who's not watching any of them?
You.
Me.
Oh, wow.
Because it's like, hey, remember the Mummy? Brandon Fraser?
It's Brandon, by the way.
What is it?
Brendan.
Brandon got it.
Yeah.
And they're starting to follow this storyline of this mummy that's going to kill everyone, of course. Mm-hmm. And it's like, by the way, I'm Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. It's like, excuse me, sir. Kind sir. I believe your train dropped you off at the wrong station. Why are you here? What are you doing? So they have this random sequence where he starts turning into Mr. It's like, why? Where there is a mummy coming to kill the world. Why are we worrying about getting your meds, doctor?
Oh, God.
It's horrible. And they try to do the, like, we're just going to make it darker. We're going to kill more people.
Mm-hmm.
No! Don't do that! And we're going to make sure that there's absolutely no chemistry between Tom Cruise and the woman character. It's like, A, give her a name. B, no one cares.
C, don't name Tom Cruise's character Tom Cruise.
God, it's just the Tom Cruisiest thing. He's God. And I'm not even considering that he is the head of the Church of Scientology.
Oh, God.
Which, he's a piece of shit for that. But he's a bigger piece of shit for being in the mummy. God, and the end is so clearly, it's like, by the way, get ready for Mummy 2 coming at you.
Oh, no.
It's like Tom Cruise, undead mercenary.
Oh, God, that's awful.
It's like, no! You're telling me there's going to be another 90 minutes of this? And I have to wait 2 years to be mad about it? Oh, my God! It's horrible. The Mummy is horrible. Tom Cruise is horrible. The dude that's supposed to be like the comedic sidekick is horrible. The woman that he's supposed to fall in love with is horrible. She hates him. He hates her. Everyone hates them collectively. It's horrible. Russell Crowe is horrible. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde is nonsense. It is ludicrous. The rest of the movie is ludicrous. People fall out of airplanes for no reason. It's ludicrous. The Mummy, no one gives a shit about, and I wish it killed everybody. It's horrible.
How was Samuel L. Jackson?
Oh, phenomenal. Unbelievably good as sand. So good. His best role since Pulp Fiction.
Oh, God.
Or Hitman's Bodyguard. I can't tell.
Oh, well, at least the movie has that going for it. The sand was good.
It's all CGI sand! There was no real grain of sand in the whole thing, guaranteed. Don't check that, but I guarantee it.
Well, there you go, folks. You have a Steve guarantee.
Yeah.
That you cannot check.
What a fucking dump. What a dump of a movie. And that's the shit that pisses me off, is that some Hollywood executive somewhere was like, look, guys, this is what I think is going to happen. I'm going to take a shit in a camera, and then I'm going to put Tom Cruise's face over it, and people are going to watch it. And I did. And I hate myself because I'm part of the problem. I need to go watch Lady Bird tonight. Tonight. What a goddamn turd fire.
You say you need to watch Lady Bird tonight. I'm going to talk to you tomorrow. Like, Steve, what'd you watch last night? The Bye Bye Man. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm part of the problem.
God. Do not. It's not even a movie that's so bad that it is fun. Like The Room or Sharknado. Mm-hmm. No. Just insultingly bad.
All right. So what's your top five in review?
The Mummy, The Mummy, The Mummy, Donald Trump, The Mummy. Number five, The Hitman's Bodyguard. Number four, Battlefront 2/internet-monopolizing, money-milking from video games online. Number three, The Kingsman, Golden Circle. Number two, Net Neutrality. Number one, B, Donald Trump. Number one, A, The Mummy.
All right, my number five is Walking Dead. My number four is Drawn to Death. My number three is The Bellows. My number two is The Big Bang Theory. My number one, B, Donald Trump. My number one, A, Iron Fist.
Ugh.
Guys, we really took a journey this podcast. It's rare that Steve gets more and more angry the longer the show goes on. But those rare times, they're so much fun when they happen.
Yeah, I'm great. Great. Glad you're having a great time, Wes.
Now go home and help your sick wife and your baby daughter.
Just
as a rage monster.
God.
Folks, we told you our top five worst of 2017. Obviously, there was a lot of shit in 2017.
Yeah, sure was.
Just in general, but we're talking about the realm of TV, movies, and video games.
That's
so
right.
What is your top five? Please let us know. You can leave a comment here at oneofus.net. You can email us at fiveandoutshow, all spelled out, fiveandoutshow@gmail.com.
As always, I'm Steve.
I'm Wes.
That was five.
And we're out!